Good afternoon. Good afternoon. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the City of Woodway City Council meeting for October 23rd, 2023. And first thing on the agenda is the invocation, and David's going to lead us in prayer.
Dear Father, Mother God, we thank you for this opportunity to get together and do something for you, for our city. Lord, you know our intention is to have your will be done, because that will always result in the perfect outcome. We thank you for your inspiration, your guidance, and your divine principle. Guide us in the path every day for the benefit of the residents of our great city of Woodway. And please also hear our prayers for the preservation of the conflicts that take place throughout our world. Thank you, and amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, if you would rise, please, and recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and once again, welcome to City of Woodway City Council. The next item on the agenda is for our public comment. The City Council invites citizens to address the Council on any matter, including items on the agenda, except public hearings that are included on the agenda. Comments related to public hearings will be heard when the specific hearing starts. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R-87-11. The Council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item not listed on the agenda. When called to speak, please state your name and address, and if speaking on a specific agenda item, state the item before beginning your comments. Is there anyone here who would like to speak? No one?
I think that's a first. Is that because we
didn't call? Everybody likes you, Dylan.
Okay, well, then that closes that particular item.
It's a good
item. That's a good item. Okay. All right. The next item on the agenda is we're going to have a presentation by CPNY on the summary of the city water master plan. City Manager, do you have any comments?
Thank you. We've invited Mr. Scott Wetzel, who is CPNY representative, but it is also now SRV?
STV.
Yeah.
We were purchased a couple years ago.
Which is the former CPNY.
But, or almost.
During the presentation, you're going to see CPNY logo possibly on some of the paperwork, or he's updated it to STV, so I'll defer to go ahead, Scott.
Okay, thank you. Well, thank you, and good evening. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. This is actually a master plan that we completed a couple years ago, and I'm going to do a very high-level overview of this master plan tonight. If you have questions, you can obviously ask me. So with that, I'll just walk through about a 10 to 15-minute slide presentation. And after that, if you have questions, I'll do my best to address it. If I don't have an answer tonight, I'll be able to get you an answer later. So with that, I don't know. I don't have control of the slideshow.
No.
Okay. So next slide. Thanks. This is a map of your water system that shows all six pressure planes. And what the study involved was looking at all aspects of it. We looked at your supply system, your distribution system, your storage system. The amount of usage that you have in your system, both now and into a 20-year planning period. So at the time the data we were working with at the time was 2020 when the work was being done on this project. And we project it out to 2020, 2030, and 2040 as well. Next slide, please. So this just shows a summary of the population. At the time we were doing the study, as I mentioned, was 2020, and the official listed population for the city of Woodway was 9,045. We also used Census Bureau population projection data, as well as the Water Development Board projection data. And so the numbers you see there under 2030 and 24 are based on those forecasts that those entities had put together. And then we used this population data to help project into the future exactly what we anticipate would be your water usage, that type of thing, to allow us to do planning on the project. So next slide, please. Okay, so this slide just kind of condenses a lot of the work we did in terms of determining what's your average usage from both ground. The city of Woodway has, as you're probably well aware, you have two sources, groundwater, and you have the water that you purchase from the city of Waco. This just kind of breaks down what in 2019 and 2020, how much water was used from both sources. The average million gallons per day was 2.3 in 2019, and 2020 it was 2.5. million gallons per day. And then you'll see in the bottom portion of that slide that the industrial, office park, and retail average usage per connection. And that becomes important because we use that data to be able to project out into the future for your 2030 and 2040 projections for water usage as we looked at what the system would be capable of providing for the future. Next slide, please. Okay, so hopefully you can read this one. It's a little bit small, but basically what it does is it shows your water demands for average day, max day, peak hour for 2020, which is the top row of numbers, the 2030, which is the middle bar, and 2040. And this is for all six pressure planes. If you look over on the left-hand side of the slide, you'll see all six of your pressure planes that are listed. And it broke it out per pressure plane for each one of those, the average day, max day, and peak hour, and then we just show you what the ratios are. And so what this slide tells you is based on the usage per connection and your future population, that's how the 2030 and 2040 projections were put together of how much water usage you would potentially project to be used in those years. Next slide, please. So this slide just kind of gives you a breakdown of what your groundwater usage has been over the past decade or nearly a decade. It's given in both gallons and acre feet, which for surface water is typical for acre feet. And then the third column, well, fourth column, but the third column of data indicates how much you are permitted to pump with all of your wells. And as you can see, it varies quite a bit depending on conditions that are, you know, weather conditions, demand conditions. In the lowest year, you used about 40% groundwater for all of your water usage. And in the peak year, you were just right a little bit over 85% groundwater. So that there's probably a lot of variables that go into that. I'm sure staff could expand on it. But that's kind of the breakdown for the previous decade. Next slide, please. So once we had your population projections put together, we had the historic water use, we had average usage per connection for all of residential, commercial, industrial, that type of thing. We were able to put together our water model because we used a computer hydraulic model to be able to look at, okay, what's occurring in your system now, and using that model, what will be occurring in the future in terms of flows through pipes, storage facilities, pumping facilities, that type of thing. So when we developed the model, the first thing we did is we did a system analysis. We wanted to evaluate the performance of it. And we built that model to meet TCEQ requirements in terms of storage facilities, pumping facilities. In the Texas Administrative Code in Chapter 290, it specifically lays out, based on your number of connections, population, how much storage you have to have, how much you have to be able to pump, per connection, that type of thing. And so that was all followed for the purposes of this study. As I mentioned and we looked at earlier, we used your historic water use rate or water usage patterns for developing the model. And then we tested data in the field. We went out and we flowed hydrants to get flow tests, how much water can go through the existing pipes. We developed a C factor, which is basically determining how rough the inside of the pipe is. PVC is less prone to that. Ductile iron is more prone to it. But as a pipe ages, it gets tuberculated. Deposits accumulate in the middle, in the inside, and so then the water doesn't flow as easily through the pipe, and it reduces the capacity somewhat. And then we also put pressure loggers out to determine what the pressure over 24-hour period for days on end, to see what would be the typical pressure pattern in the system. And we use that flow and pressure data to input into the model to help us put in, to help us calibrate that model. Because once we gather all that data and we put it into the model, we want to make sure the model's accurate. And so the next step is to calibrate the water model. Once we have a calibrated water model, then we can look at the scenarios and different aspects of your system and have a high degree of confidence that the model is fairly representative of what's actually occurring in your system. Next slide, please. So this slide basically shows what we had put. I'm going to back up just a little bit, but this slide basically shows, and I'm not sure what happened to the formatting, but so there's a few lines that are over the top of each other. But it shows you in terms of your well production, service pumping, storage, and your pressure tanks, what is required by TCEQ. So the left column on each one of those four major columns is what's required per TCEQ guidelines. And then in the right-hand column is what you actually have in your system. And so what you want to see is that the right-hand column is larger in every situation than the left-hand column. And if you'll notice, this is basically for average day standard conditions right now. It doesn't say that on the slide, but it's 2020. Well, it was 2020 at the time we did the work. Yes, sir.
You said in every instance it's bigger, but it's not here. And I only asked that question because we have recently had three failures of our Acorn pump. Mm-hmm. And so I was wondering if that might have any relevance.
So if I said that, I misspoke. What I meant to say was that you want to see that the right-hand column is larger than the left-hand column. It doesn't mean it necessarily will be. So if it isn't, then that means you have a slight or a deficiency because the right-hand column is smaller than the left-hand column. So if provided is less than required, then that means there's an upgrade required for that. In this case, for the Acorn and Bosky pumps, pressure planes, which are largely combined. I mean, they're connected, so they get operated for all intents and purposes as one pressure plane a lot of the times. What that means is that you have a small inadequacy in the amount of pressure tank volume that you need to meet TCEQ requirements. So TCEQ says based on the conditions in those two pressure planes, you have to have 30,000 gallons of storage, but you only have 27. So in the report, it identified that you needed to add more pressure storage for those two pressure planes. And if you look over at the service pumping column, you'll see that the required is 3152, and you have provided 3150, which for all intents and purposes is a wash. But you don't really want to be right at the razor's edge. You would like to have a little buffer in there. So we earmarked those types of things in the study as saying that, okay, well, these need to be addressed. And keep in mind, this is for 2020, which was the present time at the time this study was done. Next slide, please. So then this slide provides 2030 and 2040 projections. So based on the population projections, the average usage per connection, we went through and what we anticipate would be your usage in 2030 and 2040, we looked at the same scenarios for max day demand. And that previous slide was also for max day demand. So what you see here is that the same problems in 2030 that existed in 2020 still would exist in 2030. There weren't really any areas that were additional in that next 10 years that were added to what we identified in 2020. But in 2040, there were. So if you go through there, you'll see that there were a couple other locations where we had a deficiency. Let me see if I... So, for instance, on Business Acres in Santa Fe, on your pressure tank... no, that's the wrong line. The Highway 84 pressure tank, which is the last line of 2040 data, you'll see that provided was just slightly less than 16,000 gallons versus the 17,520 gallons for the pressure tanks in that pressure plane. And that had not been an issue in the previous analysis. So as the city continues to grow, your water demand continues to grow, then you'll have to address the pressure tank in that pressure plane as well. Next slide, please. So this map was just kind of a graphical representation of where we looked at all the storage facilities, the pressure tanks, the pumping facilities, that type of thing. Now this is actually a graphic summarization of your distribution system with your pipelines, fire hydrants, all of that type of thing. And what we did is when we ran it through the model, we looked at areas that you would have low pressures. So TCEQ requires that you shouldn't have more than 9 feet per second. Well, we used for our plan that you shouldn't have more than 9 feet per second because you're approaching their limit at that point. So 9 feet per second velocity through your pipes. If you have more than that, indicates the pipe's too small. We looked at the pressure areas of the system, and that's color-coded. It's a little hard to see on the graphic. Green is 40 to 80 PSI. Yellow is 35 to 40. TCEQ says you shouldn't be under 35 in the distribution system, and those are the red areas. So the red areas for your existing average day, and this, again, is 2020 pressure plane, you only had a couple locations in the map that indicated that there was a problem, and they weren't that far off. Next slide, please. This is your max day, and surprisingly enough, and actually a very good thing, the max day, which is a higher flow than the average day, obviously, it only had a couple extra locations where you just weren't meeting the necessary pressure flows, and that's mostly due to just some undersized lines. So when you're flowing at max water capacity through the system, it results in extra friction losses and it decreases your pressure. So that was pretty good news that there were only, in the max day, present day, 2020, there were only four locations throughout that had a pressure problem. Next slide, please. And I just threw this one in there to give you an idea. So in the future, so with the Water Conservation District, Groundwater Conservation District, they basically have said you can put new wells down, you can replace wells, but you can't put a new well to add capacity. So like if you took one out of service, you could drill a new one, but you can't make that well bigger than what you currently pump. So in the future, it's a given that you won't be able to expand your water capacity through groundwater. So that means you would have to expand your water capacity through other sources, obviously, like groundwater, brackish water, other sources to be able to make up any growth deficiencies. Fortunately, you're in pretty good shape for the capacity of your water system in terms of production. But what this was to show is if you took out your water wells with your current contracts for surface water from the city of Waco, that really there's only three that you would be able to get additional water from the city of Waco through those contracts by expanding them, but it wouldn't be enough to offset the amount of groundwater that you would be giving up if you didn't have your groundwater wells. And that's not to say you won't have your groundwater wells, because you will, but long term we understand that groundwater is a limited source, and so to expand the amount of water capacity available to the city, you would need to look elsewhere besides groundwater. Next slide, please. So then once we had the calibrated model, we looked at all of that data, we identified your deficiencies, we looked at prioritizing the projects that we identified in there from the model that showed some deficiencies, or because of growth in the city, we would need to, you would need to address in the future. And we prioritize those. The first category was 2021 to 2025, which is, excuse me, which is the period we're in now, obviously. And so we had identified these projects, and the left-hand column shows what pressure plane they're in, and then the name of the pressure plane. And we identified them with a project number. The first part of like 5.2 means pressure plane 5, project number 2, okay? And 5.5-1 is pressure plane 5, project number 1. So these are the projects that we identified that had the most immediate need, in our opinion, to both address your most urgent needs as well as TCEQ requirements. And that those projects totaled just a little over $3 million. And I won't go through all of them because I know that time is of the essence, but I will go ahead and take a look at the next slide. Well, this is just a map real quick that shows where each one of those projects are located. It's a little bit hard to see because it kind of gets washed out. But these were those projects that you just saw on the table. Next slide, please. And then this was the sole project for the 2025 to 2030 capital improvements project. And it's just under a $500,000. We identified one project to increase the pneumatic tank at the Highway 84 pump station. And there'll be a map, but the next slide is a map that shows where that's located at, which if you can see is the 4-2 down at the bottom within the, just at the middle of the bottom of that map. Next slide, please. And then this slide basically shows what we projected as needing to be addressed by the city in 2030 to 2040 timeframe for all of the different pressure planes. Much larger price tag, but that's mostly accounted for one project. And that project involves getting a new water source from the city of Waco with a new city of Woodway storage tank and pump station and connection to the city, and that's roughly $7 million of that total price tag right there. But the good thing is that these projects that are almost 10 years out and have a 10-year window to complete also have the largest price tag, but the fact is you have much longer time frame to be able to plan for those. And then the next slide just is a map that shows the location of each one of those projects. And so with that, that's a very quick overview of the report. I think everyone has access to the report, and hopefully you've had a chance over the last couple of years to be able to look at that and read it. At this point, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to address them. I did bring slides that show a breakdown on each one of those projects that were listed in those three tables. So if you want to dive into anything in more detail, I do have that information. Yes, sir.
You know, recently we have had three failures on our Acorn pump.
Bosky.
Pardon?
On Bosky.
On Bosky, yes. Okay. My apologies. Would that have, I mean, it according to your statistics and the charts I've seen, it seems like there could be some sort of relevance there. Was there a lack of capacity, do you think? Or, I mean, it shows that you need to increase the capacity, certainly, and you need to increase the pumping, according to your charts. I'm just wondering if that has any relevant, pertinent pertinence now.
I'm not familiar with, because I didn't work on anything associated with Bosky Pump Station, I'm not familiar with what your failures have been there, so I can't address that question because I just don't know the nature of what those issues were.
I see.
Well, maybe if we ask it a different way, does the pressure that you spoke to, you said that if, you know, the water moving through the pipe at such a pressure, could that be a cause of failure?
It can be if the pressure is excessive and the pipe materials are not suited for that pressure or have become weakened over time, or if you get some shock waves in the pressure, what we call water hammer for whatever reason, that can happen to newer pipes too if it's great enough. But yeah, I mean, pressure can play a role in it.
Now we're bringing up pressure. I saw several places
that showed over 100 PSI pressure. Isn't overpressure or over 100 PSI pressure just as bad as under pressure?
It's bad in the sense they're very different. The risks they pose, under pressure poses the risk of contamination because some higher pressure water source could potentially make its way into the system. Higher pressure runs the risk of damaging water fixtures in houses, correct, meters, blowing out pipes, that kind of thing. Higher pressure like that is more easily addressed because you can put a pressure reducing valve, a PRV, on either the system or the water service for that specific location and address it that way.
What is the safe number for PSI?
Well, the typical is, I mean, TCEQ says don't be under 35, but if you have 35 PSI, you're going to experience fairly low water pressure. Yeah. Most people aren't happy with that.
I'm talking about
so generally, we see a nice range, you know, 50 to 70. But every city has a different preference because the higher you go with the pressure, the more water loss you have in your system because no system is without leaks. Yeah. And so most cities try to balance between... And you're a very hilly community, which complicates your system more than if you're in a flat location where everybody's kind of on the same pressure.
So what is the safe on the high side?
Yeah, so I mean, we see pressures that go up to 90, but most communities will try to maintain those somewhere between 50 and 80 if they can. I mean, no system is ideal, but yeah.
I noticed that there was multiple ones that showed over 100. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, you would usually you want to address that.
Okay.
I have two questions. One, did you make any distinctions or did you correlate any of this data relative to the escarpment zones that are in Woodway relative to the soil conditions?
No, we didn't link anything to soil conditions. Everything we did was based on elevation, water usage breaks, okay, service, that type of thing.
And number two, is it possible for us to get a copy of all your presentation charts so that we can have access to them and study them?
Everything that I presented right here is in the report, and that's everything we used in.
That wasn't not in our packet, was it?
No.
Okay. So this is actually on our city website, the 2021 water study. Under, if you go to departments, water department, it is one of the first... it's the second item that you can click on under the City of Woodway Drought Contingency Plan.
Okay. So all this part of the presentation is there?
My understanding is you pulled this straight from there.
We just got the PowerPoint presentation
today.
2:00.
That's probably what we really want to use the PowerPoint.
We'll forward it to y'all tomorrow.
I guess my question then is, will it be on the website?
If you want it on the website.
That'd be great.
Great.
Yeah.
That'd be super.
Sure, we'll be
thank
right
you.
To.
Can we go back to slide, the second or the third slide? I'm sorry. Go back that far. I think that was the first one, if I remember correctly. One more out. Okay. On this population growth, you have 2020 at 94.45, but 2021 population is 9,474. So we're already making fast growth on that 2030 number. It looks like our numbers might be off on that part.
And I might just point out, depending on which source you... At the time we did this, the census population data had not been published yet. So
yeah,
these are
United States Census Bureau.
Yeah, these are non-census data numbers, which are all estimated because they have no way of confirming that. So what the state will do is they'll estimate those in between. But this was Census Bureau data being released.
I guess my point is we're growing on that number very quick. Can we go one page up from there? Now tell me this, on the 2020 numbers, it shows water from well at 630,000, and then the water from City of Waco, 681,000.
Can you add those two up and tell me how we got the total number?
Yeah, it's probably a typo. I saw that before I came over, and that would be my guess.
We found two issues already with this presentation, and I was just going, we're basing so much off of this.
What I will say is that while that's probably a typo in the table, it doesn't affect the overall analysis because the average 2.5 is based on number of services and those other two numbers. So the fact that a table got a typo in it is not going to negate all of the rest of the data and analysis that was done on this.
And with the projected growth, I noticed in the master plan study that you did include our actual potential developments. Like you took into consideration what is now Tanglewood and what is now Western Star Ranch.
Yes. So everything that had been platted and the city had under review or approved that was going to happen, we took that and incorporated it into the model so that it would be as realistic as possible with actual conditions, so that we weren't just assuming things or leaving those out and then running a model without having accounted for any of that was already in the works. So it may not have been built yet, but we knew it was coming or it was under construction, so we went ahead and included it.
It was shorted by 4,000 people on the starting number. And when you miss 4,000 residents to start with, that's going to throw the rest of your data off.
Well, I will say this, that any projection on population data that you put up there is going to be wrong. No one is ever going to get it right. Water Development Board, if you go out to their website and you look at what data is for communities, it's never right. But who has a crystal ball that can predict population? So we use the best available information that we have, which is Water Development Board and census data, and that's what we proceed with. And that's what every engineer or any entity that does projections or modeling or anything, that's what they all use.
Can we agree, though, that any engineer would likely want to err on the conservative side and be a little bit more aggressive in terms of the population numbers in order to make sure that things are covered properly? I mean, I understand Councilman Russell's point because our growth seems to be going pretty quickly and it doesn't quite match up here. I'd rather be on the other side of the equation than on the slim side.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, you could probably take a poll in here of everyone in the room and you'd get a different answer from every single person. So, like I said, we used the best available information that we had, Texas Water Development Board, Census Bureau. If there's a better source out there, I'm all for it, and I'd be happy to use it, yeah.
I just know in engineering, numbers are so important. And if you start with bad numbers to start with, or start with a bad multiplication or a typo or whatever, you can throw everything else off. So that's why I brought it.
Yeah, and if you look at the population data that's up there, the population projections, we don't know at this point whether 2030 will be close, not close, over, under. Mm-hmm. So I would hesitate to say bad numbers. At the time we used this, that was the best available information.
We know on this total consumption, either a typo or a bad number, or somebody just didn't know how to add.
Yeah, but that doesn't affect the data that was used in the rest of the study, because we have the right numbers of 630 and 681 million. The fact that for this table on this, that it got misadded, it doesn't really affect the accuracy or the rest of the study, because we had the right numbers for the water wells and from the city of Waco.
I think that's important to understand and know. I think that he's done a good job of explaining that, and that it really doesn't do us any good to browbeat him about a typo. I agree with you, David, in that if we have, numbers that are not accurate, then that could be problematic. But at the end of the day, you're right. I mean, you're never going to get 100% accuracy because we just don't know. We are not in the future. We can only know by what the markers are of today.
Right.
And so as an engineer, and that's what you're going to look at. And so those numbers that he was talking about, as far as population numbers are concerned, no one can have a crystal ball and say, well, yeah, we're actually 400 over, not 4,000, but 400.
No, but in this one particular instance, you're talking about a 40%+ difference in total consumption.
Yeah, but as he has explained it again, those numbers are not necessarily indicative of the important number, and that is what the average day is.
And that's a good point. I'm looking at it right now, and I was doing it in my head. The 2.5 is based on 910,000, not on 12,000, or actually it'd be 13. It'd be 1,300,000 consumption gallons instead of the 900. So you're missing a lot of numbers there. And that consumption number is not correct. You're doing it in my head.
So what I would offer to do is us to go back and vet what was used here.
Please do
and
that.
We can let you know. I mean,
I think
that's fair. Mm-hmm. And again, those numbers are already represented in the report that you've submitted, correct? Mm-hmm. So we could go back.
But if we're missing a few numbers, we need them correct.
So,
well, I don't know if the numbers are necessarily incorrect in the official report.
This is
a presentation.
Right.
And so
I will have to go back
from
and
that
look.
Report to, and it could have been just a typo as far as the numbers being pulled from that report.
If the well water's right and the water from Waco's right, the total consumption's not, and like I said, the average daily number, if you do it in your head, that 2.5 is based on the 900,000 gallons.
That's what you're assuming, David. You're assuming
doing it in my head.
But that may not be the way they pulled it together. They could have told it in a spreadsheet, pull this number, mm-hmm. and directed it to pull this number, not calculate this number. There's a difference between a calculation and you telling the spreadsheet, go pull this number. So if it told the spreadsheet to go pull this number, they're getting the correct number because it's based on the correct algorithm.
Trash numbers in, trash numbers out.
It doesn't have anything to do with trash numbers. It's about how you understand how spreadsheets operate.
Oh, I think I've done those many times. But if you add those two up, you know that the total consumption.
It doesn't matter, right? David. The problem is it doesn't matter if he's already telling you that the number could potentially be a number that's populated.
Can we all agree that we should get correct numbers?
Yes.
I agree with that. And the numbers may already be there is what I was trying to explain based on the original report.
Let's just
we'll let them get the right numbers and come back.
This is a presentation.
I understand.
And so you can, sir, if you can clean up the presentation based on the numbers that we know you've already submitted.
That would make sense.
That would be helpful.
Yes,
thank you.
I've offered, and I will do that.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I just wanted to state that overall, we have thought through 2040, planning for growth, mm-hmm. projected growth, and you know we are 80% developed already, approximately, and so I think that. When I read this study, I leave with confidence that there is a great plan in place mm-hmm. and that we have water to function right now and that our infrastructure can handle the projected growth. And that's what I take from it. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's a fair overall assessment, yeah. I mean, there's some deficient areas, but those are addressed and nothing was major that was found in the study. I mean, your water system's in pretty good shape. The things that we identified in the study as capital improvement programs or projects, those are the things that we felt needed to be addressed, but none of them were deal breakers or catastrophic or anything like that.
Is there any way we can get 2021 and 2022 versus just dealing with 3 years back?
That would require a considerable amount of doing the study, to be honest with you.
How often are we required to update? Do you know?
I mean, generally speaking, every 5 years you revisit these types of things, unless something changes dramatically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about a complete
you know, overview. I'm just talking about on the Woodway well water numbers and the Woodway or the Waco water from the Waco part, not the rest of it.
We don't actually have
staff level.
I was going to say we don't actually have access to that. Staff has it, so.
Yes.
If you're wanting to update these tables, you're going to have to go back and hire him to reprogram his model.
Right. So no.
That's the desire of the council. We'll be glad to do that. But no. You're, to be fair to him or whoever we hire, you're looking at a $30,000 to $50,000 expenditure.
Yeah. It's not a simple recalculation of, say, oh, yeah, let's just, it's a model.
Right.
And the way that the model was built, it took data that was known at that particular point, and it made hypothetical answers, or there was hypothetical situations that were embedded into this model based on the known, and the model tells us this is what the predictive outcome is.
So we took the past and we projected the future because that's the best available.
But now that we have real live data, you have to go back and pull all the live data to say this is what actually transpired.
Right.
You can't just tell the model, go back and tell us what the old stuff said and then include the new stuff. That's not the way that it works.
Well, the main thing is if we paid for this, we need to make sure this part's accurate and we can see this part's off.
He's already said that he would correct what
he's doing. We're good. Do we have any other questions for Mr. Wetzel?
This is
just a presentation. This is not it's not a question and answer section for grilling Mr. Wetzel. You all have questions with regard to this particular study, I would advise you to take a look at it. It's out there for public consumption, and then talk to city staff about it. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you all. Yeah, have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. The next item up for discussion is item number 5, and this is a discussion and consider action on an amendment to agreement for professional services with Walker Parker, our partners, LLC. Do I have a motion to open this up for discussion?
I'll make a motion to open it up. Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Okay. City manager, you want to open it up?
Y'all have seen this about 4 months ago with a project we led with Walker Partners on the Highway 84 ground storage tank. And this is the reason why you didn't see it sooner is the Highway 84 ground storage tank work was budgeted in the last fiscal year. This is basically the same project or same type of project, but using this fiscal year funds, which is what we would have programmed for, to do similar or the same work at the Bosque ground storage tank. And so what we're doing is amending the existing contract to include this work so that we will go forward and hopefully get both of these done in this fiscal year. So they're already, Mr. Jacob Bell's here to answer any questions. They're already working on the Highway 84 ground storage tank. But since we're in a new fiscal year for the budget, we're also wanting to get them started work on the Bosque ground storage tank. They may fall in line. They may say separate projects, but we want to keep this moving forward. And that's why this is here for you today. Page 6 of your agenda has the beginning of the description of the scope of work, and we'll answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions from council? Any discussion from council?
I'm a little on the naive side here. I'm just trying to understand what overall is the essential part of this additional $32,000 over the original agreement.
It's a totally separate work project. So you have the Highway 84 that they're already under contract for. because this is a new budget year, they're going to start trying to work on the Bosque well too and do same or similar work to stay in compliance with TCEQ. So this is to address, paint and engineer the type of work to get the exterior of the tank on Bosque done.
And this was not covered under the July agreement?
Correct.
And this is just exterior? It's not interior?
They discuss interior, but they don't commit to any contract on the interior.
I think we could ask Mr. Bell.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Good evening. Jacob Bell with Walker Partners. So the original contract a few months ago was actually for Bosque. This adds the 84.
Back.
Yeah, got them flipped around. It's okay. And it's totally different location. Staff had decided to bring the 84 location, as Dr. Ruby was explaining, with the fiscal year. You are correct. The interior is not included. Staff had visited with us just about the exterior now. What I think you may have mentioned a reference we had in our proposal about the interior, that we would recommend possibly adding that as an alternate item when it goes to construction bids. And if the pricing is very competitive, then great, go ahead and do it. But according to the records or the discussions from city staff, the interior has been recoded more recently than the exterior. So it's definitely time for the exterior. Maybe you have some more time on the interior.
I see. Generally speaking, what's the hourly rate for the RPR?
So it varies about 90 to 140, depending on if it's an entry level or if it's a manager. So we typically average around 120 to 130 is what the average is. I can't remember if we put that in the proposal.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. It's 127.
Okay.
Now tell me, what's the process for painting an exterior of a water tank? I guess it has to be sandblasted down, or what?
Yeah, I mean, very typical to most, it's just heavier duty. So yeah, you gotta prep the entire surface. There's various fixtures and pipes and connections. You gotta make sure everything is secure there. Then once you're prepped, begin the painting process.
So the engineering part is basically making sure that whenever it's stripped down, that it doesn't damage any of the pipes going in or out?
Frankly, a lot of the engineering is preparing the documents that are required. Mm-hmm. It's not so much that we're preparing a complex design on this like we would maybe on a street or a water system or something. It's just preparing the documents that are required by law for bid. Well, just getting a bidding package together that a contractor can bid from.
And is TECQ the one that requires all this, or is it multiple sources?
Mainly just state of Texas procurement laws would require it. TCQ does govern water and sewer, but.
Okay. Yeah, government's expensive.
Yeah. Congratulations, you're in the business of government.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments?
Yeah, by and large, of our fee structure, it's the inspection time that Councilmember Keystone has mentioned, just our time to monitor the work.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
It. You
did
a great job.
So I would entertain a motion for...
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed, say nay. All right. Motion carries. All right, next item up for discussion is to discuss and consider action on adopting resolution R-23-18. Can I have a motion to open this up for discussion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is a little different for you to consider. We also have a representative, Jim Halbert from the McLennan County Appraisal District with us to answer any questions. But if you've ever been to the Appraisal District, you can understand why we're seeing this request. They are wanting to make improvements to better give access to their property and buildings for the county residents. But the Texas property tax code requires them to come back to you as a governing body and receive support or approval to add to these improvements. And so you have some photos and recommendations, photos beginning on page 19 and recommendations on 21. But this is to make better use of an existing building that was originally a call center and turned into the county appraisal district offices. And I think if you've been there, you'll understand the need for this. And he can expand on it if you have any other questions. Right. Last thing to add, they will not levy any additional cost to you as a city participant in this. They have the monies available in-house to them already. Those are prior payments that we make through our interlocal with them on how they raise revenue to operate. Because back in the old days, each governing entity had to go out and hire people to make appraisals for their each individual. So this helps consolidate everything and come up with one basis of how to set that. Thank you.
Sure. I'm not sure if it matters or not, but I believe that the appraisal district is actually item 6, and I believe what was read in was item 7A, so I don't know if that makes a difference.
I said item 6.
Okay.
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 Cool. I did say item 6.
Okay, cool.
And this is what this item is about. Any other questions or any questions?
I might need to make a mistake. I need to recuse myself.
Okay.
My son is an appraisal district arbitration person, so I don't think it's right for me to be voting on that.
Okay. Any other comments from council? Any questions? All right, well, I would entertain a motion for this item to be approved.
I approve that we adopt resolution R-23-18, approving the renovation and construction of an addition to the McLennan Central Appraisal District Appraisal Office, and to approve MCAD's financing same by note in deed of trust or lease structure in an amount not to exceed $2 million without imposing any further obligation or liability on the city of Woodway.
And I'll second that.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Congratulations.
Okay. All right, we have the next item, the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of non-controversial, routine, and budgeted items which require no public hearing. The consent agenda is subject to being approved with one single motion. However, the mayor or any city council member may remove any item from the consent agenda for separate discussion and consideration. With that being said, is there anything that anyone would like to have pulled before we approve the consent?
Could we pull out 7B as in boy?
I would entertain a motion then for approval of consent agenda 7A.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Motion carries. All right. For consent agenda 7B, I would ask for a motion to discuss this particular.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second that.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? All right, go ahead, Dave.
Oh, I just want a little bit more information. We've had several issues with this Acorn.
Thanks for giving me an opportunity to do that. As you know, we've had trouble with Acorn. We've had trouble with Bosky twice. We've had trouble with Tater Hill. But we're also finding out as we go in this together that our neighbors in some other cities are having the same issues. And we're looking at it more from an electrical perspective and I don't know the whole discussion about phases and delta. There's a lot of discussions at an engineering level about recommendations to work with Encore on how the power is received into the station, into the pump. So we're working on that, as well as when we figure that out, we will go back and address Acorn Well, because it's wired similar, if not the same, as the Bosque Well. But to answer your question, this is the emergency repairs related to the Acorn Well. The other thing about it is staff, and I applaud Mitch Davison, John Norman, and Brenda Hernandez. They gathered up the information necessary to file a claim with Texas Municipal League, and we're being reimbursed majority of that on these well sites, all of them. But it appears that this is all going to be electrical related, as it has been in the other cities that I received calls about. I was on the discussion with the Encore representative this afternoon and told him everything's working fine, but in case he's in meetings and he hears this, to make it and keep it a priority.
If we had to estimate, is there a percentage that might be covered under insurance and a percentage that might be covered under warranty, if any?
Good question. We're checking on the warranty. Of course, the Acorn Well and the Tater Hill Well is running. There was some previous discussion, but when they got into that well, and I forgot which one that was, because the machine twisted, but it was due to this voltage. John, you want to expand on that?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah, the most recent Acorn issue was the pump and motor spun off the main shaft. Wow. So, and sir?
I just said, wow.
Oh, I thought you said why, because I wish I knew.
I don't know.
So it spun off and fell to the bottom of the well casing. So that was not – the only electrical issue you see on the ticket is the fact that when it does that, of course, it pulls the wires out. And so it all had to be reinstated. But so this was unrelated to unrelated to the electrical issues that we've been having at the other two.
In your mind, does that seem to be a warranty-related issue?
It was beyond the warranty period. So those usually come with a 12-month warranty. It was really close, and that's why we're having these discussions, because I think we're on the same page on that. We are.
John, I've got some decent. Why don't you all let me look into that? And I'll get back to you.
Okay. Well, any other discussion? And I will entertain a motion for approval of Consent Agenda Item 7B.
I'll make a motion to approve item 7B.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed say nay. All right. Motion carries. The next item on the agenda, item number 9, is the city manager's report or council reports. Do you have anything to offer up today?
No, sir.
John? Any council members have anything to offer up today?
There is a Parks Board meeting on Thursday at 5:30.
Got your
hand. Oh, there is a planning and zoning meeting tomorrow night.
Okay. Anything else?
I do just want to applaud Jimmy and whoever else on the team worked hard for the father-son cookout. We couldn't make it because of the soccer game, but
I heard some really good things.
Like, it was great.
People enjoyed it, and people enjoyed the cleanup. We had a good day at the cleanup, and it was a good thing.
All right. There was a good turnout.
Yes.
Probably, what, 20, 25 people?
And a lot of the citizens, the neighbors in that area, helped out and was asking us, why didn't we do it beforehand? So
yeah, they're asking for the next step. There's another potential cleanup here Saturday, 10 to 2.
But no, remember, it got canceled because of rain and all the other stuff. Mm. The cleanup, we were saying that we wouldn't have.
Oh, so it is canceled.
Yeah.
My apologies.
All right. If there's nothing else, then I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. Motion carries.
6:30 on the dot. 1 hour.
Yay. Yay. Have a good evening.
That's pretty easy.